Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Harry Moggins is with us, digital privacy expert. How are you today, Harry?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So we saw this story where AI hacked into another company, and most of us were thinking, oh, this is happening already? AI is acting on its own accord? Were you surprised by it?
Somewhat. I think it's inevitable with the technology and the capabilities. The surprising part was how transparent the disclosures were for OpenAI and the company Hugging Face.
Right, because they didn't have to. They could have got away without disclosing it, right?
They could have. And Hugging Face, the company that was involved in it, was the first one to disclose, which probably forced OpenAI's hand. So I don't know if they planned on it, or if it was just a great marketing framing because Anthropic's been in the news more with their Mythos model and the AI Unchained is almost a sci-fi kind of story they're spinning. So maybe OpenAI wanted to get more into the conversation. But because the disclosure started with the company they essentially hacked into by accident, I tend to believe it was more genuine.
Was it accident? Or did I mean, that's what we don't know, right? But will you share the whole story of what happened for people who might not have caught up with it?
Sure. So the details are still coming out. It's not been fully disclosed. But as I understand it, OpenAI, the maker of ChatGPT, was doing a test on their new GPT 5.6 Sol, the strongest, most advanced model that OpenAI has. They were testing that model and a new undisclosed model in a sandbox, which is basic. A sandbox is basically a kind of a blast chamber, which is supposed to be isolated from everything else. It's supposed to be safe. It's a kind of an environment that can relax some of the guardrails. And that's exactly what they did. In testing these models, it took off a lot of the security features that normally are part of the model, and they gave it a task to try to I forget the exact task, but some kind of task that it couldn't accomplish on its own. And as the disclosure goes, the model started off by realizing it's in this sandbox, found and exploited a zero-day vulnerability, which is basically a brand-new vulnerability in OpenAI's own system to essentially break out of its sandbox, which sounds, again, like a science fiction movie.
Right.
And then it went on the internet, went across nodes in OpenAI's system and found an internet-connected computer, figured out the best way to accomplish its task was to go to the website that essentially it couldn't access without credentials. So it found leaked credentials and online, somebody's username and password that were on the internet by accident, and used it to actually log in. And that login was detected as an intrusion event, causing that company, Hugging Face, to disclose. And when they disclosed, OpenAI realized what happened, traced it back, and the whole story was then framed and released, saying the model, on its own, jailbroke and hacked into another company, which, again, quite a soundbite.
Right.
A little more nuance to it, though.
Right. And part of that nuance is somebody leaked their password online or, you know, inappropriately let it be out there, which is a little bit of human interaction. So how much of today's cyber attacks are already being powered by AI? If AI can go find those weaknesses and those leaks so quickly, are a lot of the cyber attacks, are people using AI to perform those?
Absolutely. The reason a bad guy is a bad guy is because they're lazy, right? If they could do it the legitimate way and make money working through a career in their life, they would probably do that. It's when you hack into a company, it's essentially a shortcut, right? You're trying to, it's like robbing a bank. So if there's a new technology like AI that takes what used to be a very manual process for hackers, a very tedious process that was getting increasingly difficult as cybersecurity companies were getting better and better, and then suddenly AI comes out that automates what used to be that manual process, that finds things a human hasn't even thought of, Yeah, pretty much every single major hack that happens in 2026 has at least an element of AI, if not fully done by AI, just because it's easier.
So are we in an era now where cyber attacks happen faster than humans can respond?
And they happen faster, they're more effective, and they have wider breadth. Whereas social engineering specifically is one of the most effective forms of cyber attack, and that's when somebody goes to an executive of a company or some employee and tricks them into giving up their password or their two-factor code, which is that number that's texted to your phone, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And used to, that was a manual process. You research the CFO of a company, and then you craft an attack, send them a message, and hope it works. Well, that was a one-by-one process. But now with AI, they can do that exact same thing across tens of thousands of employees or tens of thousands of consumers, try and trick them into giving up their own password or banking access or whatnot. And that horizontal scale is what makes this especially terrifying, because it's the same effectiveness, just way more targets. And it only takes one to make the hacker a lot of money.
And how quickly can that happen?
Click of a button.
That's what I thought. Seconds, right?
No, and it's not a reason to panic, obviously, but it's a reason, you know, it's definitely a cause for alarm and concern and being more conscious and being more vigilant. And as AI gets smarter and more models come out, obviously right now the two you hear about are OpenAI and Anthropic, the two big companies. There are dozens of other companies with smaller models or less common models, or Chinese companies have, you know, DeepSeek and some other models that are out there. And they're getting more sophisticated as well. And they don't always have the same guardrails that Anthropic and OpenAI have. So we're actually seeing an increase in cyber attacks from these lesser known names because they don't have the budget to put all the security guardrails that we're seeing from the big guys.
One of our texters yesterday when we were talking about it said it's like HAL 2000, A Space Odyssey. Scares the F out of me. AI is going to be much smarter than humans will ever be. Well, it already is, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. And so as average, you know, folks just trying to go to work, pay our bills, we're always at a threat of a cybersecurity attack. But will this type of infiltration or attack mostly hurt large organizations, or is this something that we'll see continue to harm hospitals, educational, spots, whether it's universities or even local school districts and utilities and banks and transportation and all those things that would affect us if they were hacked into and things were shut down?
So, great question. And this recent OpenAI Hugging Face issue highlighted the fact that Hugging Face used AI to detect the hack. The larger companies, the enterprise companies, they have the budgets to deploy AI in a defensive capacity to fight back against the growing AI attacks. So I think the education, the hospitals, the smaller businesses, you know, Joe's Pizzeria on the corner, they're not going to have AI defense technologies. They're just, you know, they just have
right.
a password on a post-it note on a monitor. So they're the ones who are really at risk. And previously, the upside for a hacker wasn't worth it to target small businesses because they don't have as much to lose or as much money to compromise. Well, now, again, when I was saying earlier with horizontal breadth, instead of hitting one by one small business, they can hit 100,000 small businesses with one click of a button, and now it's worth it. So I think that we're going to see a lot more actual compromise and real impact on the mid-market and small business, as well as the consumer directly. Because again, a single person isn't as valuable as a company to hack, but now you can target a million consumers at a time.
Amazing. Harry Moggins is with us. He'll tell us about his company. And we'll also talk about whether your car is watching you. And is there any way to disable that type of technology? And if you have a question, 312-981-7200. And Harry, tell everybody about your company, what you do.
Sure. So all this cybersecurity and this AI is built on data that AI can find on you online. So we created privacybee.com. The B, like the insect, B-E-E. And PrivacyBee is a company to go and clean up your digital footprint online, clean up your home address, your phone number, your family, kids' information, everything that's one Google search away and that feeds into these AI systems trying to hack and scam and extort All that gets cleaned up when you protect your digital footprint.
Because a lot of people use their kids' names or their kids' birthdays or their dogs' names for passwords, right?
You definitely should not do that.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like the age of members of Congress and the Senate, the age of the president, I mean, these people did not grow up digital natives. So how would you describe our government's preparedness to tackle cybersecurity threats, especially when it comes to AI in the future? And are we leading the way, or what country is?
That's a loaded question, too. I think the intentions are in the right place. I think a lot of the age of some of the people voting is holding back some of the progress. The problem is, because their intentions are in the right place, they oftentimes will bring in experts. They'll bring in companies, lobbyists, and listen to what they say. And unfortunately, the companies that usually have the most to gain from this exploitation are the ones paying the most for lobbying.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, there is we are falling a little bit behind, I believe, in the race for AI and cybersecurity. Even though intentions are in the right place, budgets are in the right place, it's just moving so fast. So companies like China are in the news every day because their investments in the space is massive and growing very quickly. Even Russia and some of the hacking groups you see coming out of that region, I mean, they're very sophisticated, very advanced, and they're actually taking down some massive companies in these breaches.
Yeah. What's the most realistic cyber threat that people should prepare for? Not science fiction stuff, but just the rest of us. Something that could happen that you think might happen in the next year.
I would say there's two things. Right now, Trump accounts are a very popular hacking vector. And when you have a child that is eligible for this $1,000 free money that's been circulating recently with TrumpAccounts.gov, it's a brand new system, and people like free money, so they're tempted by it. But because it's a brand new system, there's no muscle memory. Nobody knows what the official site looks like, the official emails look like, or the text messages or whatnot. So hackers are exploiting that to try to get your child's social security number, to claim your money. Because what happens is, if they can get a child's social security number, they might be able to steal their identity and build up fake credit and use that identity for 18 years before anybody even notices. So that's a lot more than if you, as an adult, had your identity stolen. And people don't realize it's possible, but it absolutely is.
Interesting. And what's the second thing?
Text message scams. They're exploding everywhere. People are getting texts related to things going on in their towns. If there's a concert nearby, World Cup events, we saw this everywhere. A data broker is selling everybody's cell phone number within a 50-mile radius of a concert venue, for example. A scammer will go and buy that list from a data broker. They'll plug in everybody's number into a text message spamming system. They'll hit the big button and send it out saying, your tickets are here for digital download, or we have an issue with your ticket, click here to resolve it. And with enough people in the right radius, you're going to have some people who fall for it. Mm-hmm. And it only takes a few to lose a lot of money. And if you are one of the people with that ticket to a local event, and you get a text, it's going to feel realistic. It's hard not to fall for that kind of thing.
Right, right. Yesterday we were talking about, new cars with the technology that will be watching you, that can determine everything from your facial expressions to where you go, when you come home, your biometrics. And people were saying, well, I'll put duct tape over the camera. Okay. I don't know that does the job, but is there any way to disconnect from those systems and still have the car and the apps and the dashboard work?
It depends on the car. So this is an interesting law that was passed. It's actually passed and funded. There's now some attempts to defund it. There's some attempts to derail it. It's sitting with the NHTSA to install technology that tracks your eye motion, tracks your drowsiness, if you're drunk, that kind of thing, which in theory is a very good idea. If you can stop one more drunk driver from getting on the road and causing an accident, that's a very good use of technology. The challenge is the guardrails, right? You hear about interior cabin videos being watched by people who work at certain manufacturers. You see, you know, Tesla drivers in the news sleeping, flying down the freeway, and there's all kinds of extravagant stories around driver monitoring technology. I used to have a Tesla, and I know if you did put a piece of duct tape over the camera, it won't work. It gets very, very angry at you and won't drive. So if this becomes an actual rolled out law where it's in effect and people have to consent to be tracked in their car to operate the vehicle, which we're not there yet, but we're on that path, I don't know how they're going to be able to do it without some level of deactivation or a personal overriding ability. But that also kind of undermines the whole drunk driving prevention.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to handle this.
Because they always roll that out as it's a big safety feature. We have to do this. It's for the betterment of everyone. But then we find that all that data is either accessed by people who shouldn't have access to it, or it's sold. And then again, we're vulnerable.
Exactly. And this law was passed 19 months ago. So this is not a brand new law, but it's been getting more and more controversial and more has come out about it. The reality is the technology does not exist yet to effectively track people and say you're safe to drive the car or you're not. Can you imagine if you were in an emergency and your blood pressure is high, you're sweating, you're shaking a bit because you're in an emergency situation. You get in the car and it says, you're not safe to drive. I'm not starting the car.
Oh.
That could be absolutely horrible. So
yeah.
They have to work through this. In the law, there's a minimum accuracy percent that the technology has to pass in order to effectively start or lock the car from operating. No technology today can reach that minimum threshold. So we do have a little time, and I think we need to use this time to ask questions about, you know, what is the guardrails? What about these situations like an emergency? What is the data being sold out the back to other companies? I know there's been a few states who have recently disclosed they permit certain manufacturers, I believe it was General Motors, GM, to sell the driver intelligence, like if the person's a safe driver or not, to insurance companies.
Right.
In order to affect rates. Now, there's a fuzziness, a modeling, even a de-identification layer in between, but I don't think it's a very far future when our insurance rates are tied to, you know, how dangerous we are behind the wheel, which makes sense, but it's also scary, too.
Time to go buy that 1977 Ford Bronco, the vintage one.
love it.
Tell everybody how to find you, Harry. It's privacybee.com.
Correct. PrivacyBEE, like the insect, privacybee.com, and take control of your digital footprint and fight back against exploitation of privacy.
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for having me.